And a very good afternoon to you. Welcome to the number one talk radio station, Eagle FM Namibia. Sally J in studio on the Brand Conversation, and I hope that you are doing good. Hope your Friday is treating you well. I think I'm living like a day behind because in my head today is Thursday, but apparently it is Friday the whole day. So I hope that you are doing good. I hope you're taking care. Us, we are in a fridge over here in the capital city, but hopefully we'll be able to warm you up with some new conversation. Now, today is very, very special. You know, I'm sure you guys have heard about the competition that we are running. And so today I really want you to listen very carefully because I'm only going to say this person's name three times. Four times, three times. So I really need you guys to listen. As you know, we have a competition that we are running with Eagle FM and NAM Groceries. And so we have the founder here today. And hopefully you'll be listening to him so that you can also stand a chance to win a vegetable combo worth 300 Namibian dollars. I hope you are ready for this one. I want to introduce my guest for the second time. This is Carlos Sanjikila from NAM Groceries. Welcome, my brother. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sally. I'm happy to be here today again.
Actually. Yes, yes.
It's the second time.
It's the second time,
oh,
yes.
It's good to be here.
So now we have this whole, you know, competition running. You know, let's go back to the inception of it. I mean, you and I, we were just having a conversation here. Then that idea came. What's the importance of giving back for you?
Yeah, you know, I mean, giving back is, I think for me, it's something that is, it's really valuable. I mean, it's, you're getting from your clients, right? And they are giving you, they help you grow. Mm. You really have to give also back to the community.
Yeah.
I mean, it just works that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for those that are just joining us, I'm sure you can give a little wave there on our cameras. Right there. So yes, yes, we are also live on Facebook. So thank you so much for joining in. I hope you guys heard his name. We'll try to repeat it a little bit. But for those that are just getting to know Carlos, tell us about NAM Grocery. What was the reason behind starting that company?
Well, just when the pandemic hit,
yeah,
when we started, I mean, COVID-19 started, we were into shuttle and tours, which was more into the medical tourism business.
Okay.
So then definitely, I mean, it started with the flights, right?
Yeah.
No flights coming in, no flights coming out.
Yeah.
And then that meant we had no clients, we had no business. So then we had the vehicles, we had the drivers, everybody sitting at home and, you know, and I mean, money was still getting out of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I decided to follow the money, but where is this money going?
Mm.
Every day there's no money coming in, but there's money going out. It was going to a store.
Yeah.
So I saw that actually, if I want to get money, it has to be somewhere in dealing with food.
Yeah.
And it was trending that time, you know, a lot of companies were doing also deliveries. It was just something that was trending all over the world.
Yeah.
But then of course we had to have a look at it and analyze in such a way, how do we do it differently?
Mm.
You know, and then we decided, no, let's start with an online grocery store.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What an industry. You know, I'm interested in hearing what some of your challenges were because, you know, you said that it was quite popular, meaning that, I don't know if you're saying that the market also became very saturated, that, you know, a lot of people started doing it, but what were some of the challenges that you picked up personally?
Really, I would say it was, there was no big competition.
Okay.
It's not that there was a lot of, I mean, everybody that was doing it, was actually responding to the demand. There was actually more demand.
Yeah.
And of course, when things started opening up, that's when then things started to change because now people don't want to order online anymore.
Yeah.
They don't want their products delivered. They want to go to the store because,
yeah,
I mean, there was an ease on the restrictions of COVID-19.
Right.
And that then became a little bit challenging because now the clients are not calling. So we had to re-strategize, mm-hmm. still do deliveries. How do we still do delivery to the people?
Yeah.
With the fact that they can now go to the stores.
Yeah.
So we had to look at pricing. We had to look at, looking for better, suppliers.
Yes.
In such a way that we can be a little bit competitive with, the big companies that are
the bigger companies.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, looking at, as you're talking about gaining suppliers and all of that, when we spoke the last time, you spoke on the emphasis of local products and making sure that you build that relationship. Take us through, you know, going through that decision and deciding that, okay, this is who I'm competing with. This is who I want to bring in, and local is the path you chose. Take us through that.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, we can only grow our own economy if we can support each other.
Yeah.
You know, if we get the products imported, and then what happens to the local producers?
Yeah.
So, I mean, for us to grow, we need to also be able to help those that are around us to grow. Like, I mean, local farmers are also into butternut.
Yeah.
They're producing a lot of Namibia has potential.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I can tell you, I mean, we have received products from farmers from Grootfontein.
Yeah.
There is a farmer that normally supplies us with butternut.
Yeah.
And of course, it's not all the products that are produced locally, but I would encourage those that are doing farming to really consider diversify, because fresh produce products are used on every day at
That's
our
true.
Home.
That's
I
true.
Mean, it's not like the dry products. I mean, you need your cucumbers, you need your tomatoes, you need onion.
Yeah.
You can't cook without that.
Yeah.
And if our local farmers do that, definitely there is a market for it.
Yeah.
You know,
I still want to stick on just a little bit of the local part, getting the merchants. Is there any challenges in that opportunity that you've seen? Because, you know, you are encouraging the local producers to come out. Was there any struggle to find them? Was there any struggle to, you know, keep that consistency? Because there's so many times we talk about how we, you know, as a country, we export so much and we import so much. But I want to hear in terms of, is there a challenge of you sourcing these local people? Because, you know, we see these aunties a lot that are selling the fruits and all of that. I'm just kind of wondering if there's a challenge as to maybe not finding enough or them coming to you, that relationship.
Look, what I've realized, I had an experience with one of the farmers as well that contacted us, and then they said they had produce,
mm-hmm.
and they were, okay, we say we're interested. I mean, the prices were quite reasonable, but then the challenge they have is storage. Well, that's one of the things that I've realized, that the farm is, for example, in the south, and we need the products here in Windhoek. So they have a minimum order quantity that they want for you to buy, for them to be able to carry the goods from the south to Windhoek or from wherever the farm is.
Yeah.
So, and these are perishable. So if there's no proper storage for these products, then they end up being with the products and then they perish. So
they
tell you, we need this minimum order quantity. And we also want to sell fresh produce. We want our products to be fresh. And thereafter, then we also don't want to buy in big quantities, you know. Then we are stuck with this, because we also have issues with storage. So I think that is, storage is one of the things, but then that there is a market, And how they reach us and how we reach each other, I think there should be more platform. I mean, today, social media is very helpful. That's how many of the farmers, for example, contact us through the same medium. And of course, that's the same way we also look for some of the suppliers.
Yeah. All right. If you would like to join our conversation as we are having a talk with Carlos Sanjikila, that's the second time I'm saying it, then you're more than welcome to call in. That is on 083-288-401. If you are a local producer, if you are, you know, someone starting out in business, if you are interested in knowing more, then you're more than welcome to join in. But for now, let's quickly pay the bills.
You always get more at Vormaat Brock. Get 5 kilogram top score maize meal for only $49.99. 750 gram Kellogg's cornflakes for only $46.99. 2 5-kilogram Rice King parboiled rice for $28.99 and 750-gram Croxon Blackwell mayonnaise for $28.99. Wurman Brock, we care.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
All right, 20 minutes past 12 o'clock on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. This is Sally J here on The Brand Conversation. And of course, I am joined by the NAM Grocery founder, Carlos. And he's here to have a chat with us about the company itself. We're here to talk about customer experience. We're here to talk about e-commerce. And of course, we're also here to encourage you to take part in the NAM Grocery's Eagle FM competition, which you'll be able to find all the information you need on our social media. But otherwise, thank you so much for joining in, Carlos.
I'm glad to be here.
Now, I want to look at customer experience because obviously what the company or the type of industry that you are in, it's an experience that you've decided to create. It's an opportunity. Take us through the importance for you in customer experience.
Look, I think it's customer service. The type of business that we do is, it's all around customer service because we actually, the product is complementary to what we sell.
Mm.
We're selling a service.
Mm.
We're selling the convenience of you not going to the store and getting the product and, you know, just in the comfort of your home, watching a movie, having coffee, chatting to your family, and then your grocery comes to your doorstep. You know, and that's what we actually doing, you know, client calls and orders and, through the mediums that we actually have.
Right.
Currently you can place your order through, for example, our WhatsApp business number.
Okay.
I can give it, on air if you allow me to.
Yeah.
It's, 085-2020-300.
Okay.
So that's a WhatsApp number.
That's easy.
Exactly. And I mean, you don't need to contact us, just because only when you want to buy, even just to find out what we have, what are the, because we specialize in combos, on fruit and vegetables, because we believe that in combos, that's where you actually get, more out instead of just buying individual products.
Mm-hmm.
So when these products are combined together, the price become cheaper.
Yeah.
Exactly. So.
So would you, say that there is a relationship between customer service and business success?
100%. I mean, if your client is not satisfied, you will not sell.
Mm.
There's no business without a customer.
Mm.
I mean, there's no customer without a business.
I hear what you're saying.
Exactly. So yeah, definitely it plays a big role. You want your clients to be happy because, I mean, they are the one that will do the referral. They will tell other people about the experience that they had, the service that they received.
Yeah.
And that's the only way you will really get more clients.
Yeah.
It's very much relative. Yeah.
What's your take on, you know, overall customer service and its skills, you know, in Namibia? I'm interested in hearing this because you have so many businesses that deal a lot or is, centered around customer experience. But I'm interested in hearing what your take is, you know, on customer service in general in Namibia.
Well, I can only speak for ourselves for now. I don't
you
want
have to
judge.
Drop names.
I don't want to judge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, customer experience is it has for us. I see that they are both sides. I mean, you could end up having a very difficult client, and then you could end up having a good client, even if you're offering a very great Service. So, since the customer is always right in business, I think that is a model that we tend to use to understand the customer. I mean, in Namibia in general, I'll say that we have been, at least we getting good credit.
If you could rate it out of 10.
Yeah.
Seeing that I don't want to put you under pressure to, you know, judge anybody.
Yeah.
Rated out of 10, if you look at overall customer service in Namibia, out of 10, how much would you give it?
Okay, I think I would give it a 6. I think we still...
A 6?
Yeah, yeah.
Why a 6? Look, so close, but so far away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that the many of the companies need to invest a lot in customer service because, I mean, especially the people that are in the front line, like the people that are answering the calls, the people that are dealing directly with the clients. These are the people that actually need to be trained. I mean, there are companies that offer training in customer service. I mean, those are the people that are representing your company. So how they interact with your client is actually very, very important. And if you are not, they are not trained to do that. I mean, people are there to learn. I mean, if you give them a chance, you train them within the company itself, or you look for an outsider to come and train them on how to deal with it. It just makes it better because, I mean, the client has the money. It's my money. I decide where I pay. So if you're not giving me what I want in the way that I want, I'm not satisfied. I can take my money elsewhere. So I think, yeah, there's a little bit to be done.
And there's a little bit.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. Now, let's look at social media because I've also seen that you are very active on your social media. I can see that you've also put a lot of effort. Take us through that, you know, importance of social media, especially in a business like yours.
Yeah, I mean, the type of business that we're doing is more, it's more digital.
Yeah.
Of course, we also try to do a little bit of offline marketing, which we are going to, once we launch the website, we're still testing it. But yeah, I mean, social media is where everybody is today. I mean, if you look around, everybody's just standing with their phones and, you know, everybody's just on social media and that's where the people are. And you'll be surprised, there is data that, the number of cell phones circulating in the country is double the population in Namibia.
Right.
And I think that's because each one has two SIM cards and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But that already tells you that there is around about close to 30 million users, I mean, using the internet on their mobile phones. And that's actually very, very, I mean, that's where the opportunity is in terms of doing your marketing.
Right.
So we have decided that we need to capitalize. I mean, those are the clients that we are serving now. Most of our clients are only able to actually order from us by using their phones, the business WhatsApp and Facebook and Instagram. So we try to grow into that direction.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Let's take this call. All right. 083-288-401. That is the studio line if you'd like to join in. If you have any questions, perhaps maybe you want to try to beg Carlos to tell you his surname, you're more than welcome to join in as a, this is a very, important conversation for us to have. It's about inspiring the next one, you know, to take their dream seriously, which is what I take, from you is that you really are so dedicated and that's very inspiring. And that's why I thought, you know what, let's have this conversation again. Let people get to know you again because, there are a lot of people sitting on a gold mine, you know, and a lot of people are quite scared. I want to hear from you in terms of, you know, kind of jumping into something new and that fear, because a lot of fear holds us back from doing things. I want to hear from you in terms of what gets you up and going and not afraid to take that step.
I'm always ready to take new challenges. I think it's it's not correct to really go to our graves with things that can really change the world. We might be sitting with a very great idea, but if we don't do the proper research and if we don't, I think for me it's just about starting. You know, when you think about something, of course you have to plan before you just don't jump in. You need to do your due diligence. And of course, surround yourself with people that help you also move, you know, you don't want to surround yourself with people that, you know, bring you down and you have an idea. You want somebody that can add on it and tell you, listen, this is great. You need to do this. You need to do that.
Yeah.
Of course, the due diligence is important, But for me, it's like when I think of something that it's really gonna work, I have that energy of just saying, let me just start. I'll just start and then I'll just see what happens.
Yeah. You know?
Of course, with precautions and all that. But the starting is just the most important thing because, look, you might have the idea, you might have all through plan, but action is different. When I started with NAM Grocery, the first thing that I did for the first month, I did the delivery myself. I went to the wholesaler and negotiated with them. And, you know, when it's me who started doing the deliveries, going to the client and getting, because how will I train somebody if I don't have the experience myself? You know, it's on the delivery that you actually learn on how the clients receive the goods. And then you also start learning what really the clients want.
Yeah.
And it was easy for me. I mean, for I think close to a month, I was doing the delivery myself. And then I called back one of my drivers to help me with the delivery. Say, okay, now I have to move to the other part of operations where I will handle the calls and, you know, get the orders together before you go and do the deliveries.
Yeah.
And it was easy for me to instruct him. So I'm very much confident that the driver, when he goes to do the delivery, he's going to deliver with a very, very good smile and the client is going to be happy with the service. I mean, even if you go to our page and you look at the compliments that we receive, and well, I mean, I wouldn't have done that without the team. I'm not taking credit for myself. It's the people that I work with that really make this happen. Lavinia, the receptionist that takes the calls and, you know, she deals with all the clients. And of course, Khalid, the driver that makes sure that the goods goes to the client. Exactly.
Yeah.
In time. So, for me, it's just you just need to experience it yourself first before you start getting other people. But start. Just start.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Leading by example. That's what I'm picking up from, you know, just the story that you're telling me, that you were doing the deliveries by yourself. You started with that, and the fact that, you know, you carried it on to the rest of your staff. Is that what it is for you? Is leading by example important for you?
Yeah, definitely it is. I mean, it's also experiencing it yourself.
Okay.
You know, it would have been different if I said, okay, I'll start with the online grocery store and then, okay, anybody can get a website today. It's easy. But then just having a website there doesn't work. You really need to experience it yourself.
To get your hands dirty.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a must. I mean, in business, it's a must. It's like a builder. I mean, you need to be able to, how will you see if the wall is straight or not if you don't even have an idea on how to build? So getting that experience is quite, quite important.
Yeah. What about, you know, setting yourself apart? You mentioned that this, industry that you're in, that it's not necessarily new, but the pandemic has forced a lot of people to go into the delivery business. How do you set yourself apart from everybody else? And how do you mentally also, you know, keep that confidence? Because yes, you can set yourself apart, but sometimes, like my mom says, you know, in a race, you should never look next to you because you're going to fall. And so you need to look ahead and focus on yourself. But sometimes it happens where we will lose that focus and that fear comes in and that, you know, self-confidence kind of drops. So how do you set yourself apart and keep consistent and not look to the other side and kind of have that feelings of jealousy or competitiveness?
Look, continuously learning, because I mean, when you are in industry, it doesn't mean if it's working, it stops there. You have to continue researching. You have to look, if you are searching, don't search for the company that is, for example, in your country or just next door. Don't compete to that level, which is good. I mean, you need to know what your competitor is doing, but then you should look for inspirations elsewhere.
Right.
You go to Google, write down what are the top 10 best delivery company in the world, and then see how did they get to the top 10 position, you know, create yourself a direction.
Yes.
If you have a direction, you have a plan, you know where you're going to be, nothing can put you aside.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, of course you're going to fall. The road is, you know, is bumpy and, you know, yeah, this can happen. But if you know where you are heading, if you have an objective, it should just keep you going.
Yes.
Like your mother said, I mean, look forward.
Don't look next to you because you might fall. Now, let's quickly pay some bills. Just take a quick commercial break, and then I will be back to give you more. We also have a nice little short talk on customer service a little bit later. So hang around on The Brand Conversation.
Oulum Nangeshefa, Noahara Kushivika, Oma Kuroe Kupitira Mohorike Radio Station, Oyo Eagle FM, Enyamukuru Olongaha. Ningekuwa tafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahita tuimwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwambelewa konorahita tu natu, mbali oheta tu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Nenge dumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo mwane oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, it is 12:30, 30 minutes left of the brand conversation. It is Sally J here, and of course we also have Carlos from NAM Grocery, and he is here to reintroduce himself to you, for you to get to know him, for you to be inspired by his story, and also for us to see if you are really listening to who he is, so that you can win yourself a combo courtesy of NAM Grocery. Now, as we are about to end, we've really touched on so many things, from the industry that you are in. We looked at customer service and experience. We looked at going into the mind of, the entrepreneur and going through those challenges. Now I'm really interested in hearing what is next for you in the next five years, because I don't know if 10 years is a bit too much with Vision 2030 around the corner.
Look, growing is actually the thing that we are prioritizing. Mm-hmm. We want to extend our operations countrywide. I mean, currently we're only delivering in Windhoek.
Yeah.
And then, of course, once the website is fully functional and launched, we're looking forward to also offering the same services in other towns, because we get a lot of people requesting for orders from other towns.
Yes.
How do I get my products where I am? I mean, I'm not in Windhoek.
Yeah.
So definitely we're working towards expanding our operations within the country itself. And then, of course, we want to take the name out as well. We want NAM Grocery to be in other countries.
Yes.
We want to serve the Southern African countries.
Mm.
We need to grow to the world from Namibia. I mean, that's what we're heading. So in the next 5 years, definitely another branch somewhere outside Namibia after having
covered everybody
in Namibia.
Yeah, that's beautiful to hear. I always love it when my guest speaks to that young or that ambitious person. What would you tell that person listening right now, especially our youth? I think they really need a lot of motivation, especially with the job market that is so scarce for anybody. What can you tell that person, especially when they can be inspired to do their own thing and start their own thing?
Yeah, look, one needs to have, I think it starts with really self-confidence. It's, it's very important. If you are not confident enough to go out there and try something out, I mean, you'll just be the place where you are. You need to go out there and look for opportunities and speak to people that that they have a lot to give. Today, I mean, the internet is easily accessible. There's a lot you can learn from the internet, really. You can start searching on how somebody started from nothing to gain something.
Yes.
So, and you see the journey and try to apply that into your own personal life.
I mean, what you're saying.
It's about going out there. It doesn't come to you. You have to go after it.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you so much, Carlos. I really appreciate it. And I'm so happy that we are doing this collaboration together. I hope we can do more. And of course, I always wish you all the best of success.
Thank you so much for having me.
Wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, that is about a wrap for now. I think we definitely have to bring Carlos back so that Tech Eagle can get into his mind about all those lovely things that he's about to do. But I hope you found some value out of today's conversation. I hope you listened carefully because you're only going to get a few chances before we, you know, award those lucky people with those vegetable combos. But nonetheless, if you missed out on the show, it will be available on our podcast, and that is on www.eaglefm.com.na. But now, here is a woman called Miss Selena Scardina. She's going to be talking about a defining time for human connection in customer service. Enjoy.
I want you to think about a room of first graders. And a question you would ask a room of first graders, how many of you want to grow up and be customer service representatives? Exactly. Zero. More likely, if you ask a group of first graders this question, they may answer with something to the effect of, I would like to be able to do things to help people. I would like to be in a role where I have purpose. I want to grow up and I want people that I can work with and I can support them. This is what I want to be able to do. See, those two scenarios are not very different. Both of those groups have to show empathy. Both of those groups have to be able to connect and respect people. Both of those groups have to be able to essentially connect with human beings. Now, I will tell you, customer service was not on my roadmap either. Even though I spent my career in customer service, that's not necessarily what I thought I was going to do. I was not destined to be a customer service representative, but somehow I ended up in this path. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about what's not on the screen right now. And I'm sure we'll get there. Now, I will tell you, about the age of 13, I started to show some traits in customer service. Two things started to take shape in my life. Technology and customer service. These two things were so important. Now, I'll tell you why. Because when I was 13, I had, just like a lot of children that age, a paper route. And it was really important when I delivered those papers that the headline was facing the customer's door when they opened it. It was really important for me on days that it was raining that the newspaper would stay dry. And then on special occasions like holidays, I would put flowers on the newspaper and sometimes a little note. See, that was important to me. And the reason why it was important to me was because I thought about those customers that lived alone and what it might mean to them. And it actually started to make something happen inside my heart. Now, I'll tell you, at the exact same time, I got my first PC, a Commodore 64. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Yes, I would program for hours on end so I could play a 2-minute game. And I was fascinated and I was hooked and it was absolutely amazing. It was amazing for me that the technology was just opening up a whole new world for me. That was amazing. And it was very amazing because this is not something I ever thought I would go into, but I loved it. Those two areas, technology and customer service. And that's me. And I will tell you that fast forward a few years, and I was the first one in my family to go to college. And I got that business degree, and I remember thinking, I am going to go out and make a difference in this world. I am going to do something incredible. I'm not sure what, but it's going to be big. And I remember that, and I was so proud. And the first thing I started to do was go, we're good. Okay. First thing I started to do was I worked a job, and at night I would teach word processing and spreadsheets, and I would teach computer science. I even taught a Windows class for senior citizens, and that was very joyful. And I will tell you, I wanted to be so connected to business and technology, and I started to see how it was going to be an enabler. And then one of my very first jobs out of college was this. This is me. Now, not destined to be a customer service representative, but something happened. I saw a job at an amazing company, and the job was very specific. The job was to help launch the systems that were necessary for the group to collect customer information. Very technical. For the time, they were called case management systems. Oh, and by the way, this was the side gig, answering customer phone calls. So I took the job, and the title was Customer Service Representative. Now, let me tell you, I said to myself, 2 years. 2 years, I'll be in this job. Then I'm going to go to a department that matters in the company, like marketing, IT, or digital engagement. See, because customer service representatives aren't necessarily a word or a title that you say without saying it a little sheepish, or at least in my view. And so I said, this is what I'll do. I'm going to move on. And then something happened. 2 years turned into 20. And I'll tell you why. So one day I took a call from an elderly gentleman, and I worked at a quick service restaurant, and he said, I'd like to know if the restaurant near my home would be open on the upcoming Thursday. So in those days, we hung up the phone. I got on my directory. I found the phone number of the restaurant. I called the restaurant. I talked to the store manager. I got the hours. I hung up the phone. I picked up the phone. I called the customer, and I relayed those particular hours to him. Now, I just want you to think about that scenario 20 years ago, right? That almost seems absurd today, almost to the point of crazy. Because how many of you have a smartphone or do not have a smartphone, I should ask? How many do not have a smartphone? And very few hands will go up, because 90% of adults in the United States today use the smartphone and an internet. Right? We use this because we are in a whole different state of communication. And this is important because this has changed how we think and how we work. So I quickly went to work and I quickly started to make a difference. So I believed in something called contact optimization. So with my business skill and with my computer skill, I would look at all the reasons why somebody would contact the company, and I would segment. And I would say, how many could be self-served now that technology was evolving, and how many of them could potentially just be offloaded by the way that we offer information? And every time I did this, there was a little segment of contacts and reasons for contact that needed a human connection. But I felt so proud because I had figured out the magic formula. Thank God I went to business school, because I know now how to differentiate in business. And I was out telling the world, here's a short video that I was telling everyone how we could succeed in business. And there it is. Okay, in that video, what I am saying is this, and I will say it because I remember it, because I was telling the world.
The only differentiator sometimes comes down to a couple things: great customer service and innovation.
The only differentiator sometimes comes down to two things: great customer service and innovation. I had figured this out, and I was telling the world, and I was so excited about it because I was putting in automation, I was driving advances, technology was moving fast, and life was good. It was good for the customer. But now I want to take you back a little bit to that story that I told you. Why did I stay in customer service? Sometimes when I tell this story, it chokes me up a little bit. But when I got back on the phone with that elderly gentleman and I said, here's the hours of operation on that Thursday. You know, I was proud, proud of my KPIs, proud of my average service time, proud of my accuracy. I was a good customer service rep, and they told us this is what we should work toward. They told me what was important. So the elderly gentleman said to me very quietly, and a little bit of sadness in his voice, and he said, "This is where I'm going to be eating on Thanksgiving." And we politely ended the call. See, someone told me once, if something moves your heart, then a problem turns into a human. And that's what happened to me. I stayed in customer service because I loved technology and I started to love human beings. And I realized that not all companies were doing this because our technology advancement has been amazing, but we have now stagnated our human connection. This is the time that we need to be connected more, and we're actually void of human connection. This is when we need to work together, and on both sides of that phone call are two human beings. So a recent CEO a few months ago said the most profound thing, and I loved it. And what he said was, customers are in a need state of convenience. They're in a need state of convenience. So that means ease, transparency, convenience. That's what customers are in a need state. It's not a nice to have. It's now a need state. But what I so wanted to hear is that that was then being counterbalanced with a need state of human connection. And I didn't hear that. And I'm not seeing that. I've been in this industry enough to know that there are companies that are making a difference. See, we do things like this. This was a few months ago. This is a $60 million rocket. Went up to space. And it came back completely intact. And it landed. And this particular rocket can be reused because it didn't burn up into entry. Now I want you to think for a minute. Isn't that brave of a civilization that we set the bar so high and we're achieving it with technology, engineering, innovation? But are we doing the same on the human side? Did we keep up with it in the last 20 years? That's what I'd love to know. Have we kept up with it? And I don't think we are. I don't think we are because of a lot of reasons. See, I've been in this business a long time. And I've had every role from the CSR up to the executive level. And I can tell you, we can operationalize feedback. We can make things better. We can make advances on your digital devices like no tomorrow. The automation is amazing. Companies that are succeeding today, they can anticipate customer needs, right? They can set expectation. They can do all of these amazing things. They can use business intelligence and predict what you want. But what have we not done equally as well? We have not humanized the customer journey. See, I love to tell you how many packages didn't get delivered because I can tell you that. I can tell you very quickly also how many credits didn't get posted. But you know what I can't tell you? I can't tell you why that gentleman was eating alone on Thanksgiving. And I should have known to send him a handwritten note, call the store manager, have him spend a few minutes on Thanksgiving with him. Or better yet, I could have spent a few minutes with him. That's never happened to me again because I have changed my heart. I can also tell you that those credits that didn't get posted, but I cannot tell you that maybe there's a student that couldn't go visit a sick friend because he didn't have the bus fare in his account. I can't tell you that. I can't tell you that a package that didn't get delivered has incredible disappointment now from a father who can't give his daughter the birthday gift she promised because it didn't arrive. But I can tell you the package didn't get there. See, that's what's missing from the whole evolution of customer service. Now, I'm going to show you something, and I want you to look at that. This is a typical customer service representative job description. Let's take a look at this. Very transactional in my mind. Listen to customers' questions and concerns, provide answers, provide information about products, take orders, calculate charges, process billing or payments, review or make changes to your account, handle returns, record details of customer contacts. Oh, and by the way, if it gets really difficult, escalate it to someone else. Now, I have to ask you, do you think that this was written for a job today in customer service or 20 years ago? this is the same job description from both time periods. See, we've evolved, but we haven't evolved on the human side. And this is where the opportunity is. Now, I want to show you something. This is what I'm doing with the companies that I work with. We drive transformation on the human side. Why can't we hire and train for this? Understand the customer's story. Solve in a way that makes sense to recover the customer to the brand. Share the customer feedback or insights to help prevent similar customer issues. How about show empathy and care? And I love this statement, offer kindness without conditions. See, this is where we should be going. We've evolved on the technology side, and I love that, and I've been part of it, and it makes me so happy to use these devices and to see this advancement. But what I don't see is this connection, and I want to see that desperately. Why do I remember that call from 20 years ago? Because I don't even know where that man is today, but I want to know the story. And after that call, with every customer I connected with, I started to know the story. And I started to teach people around me and those, and when I was a leader, to also learn the story. But this is our defining moment, folks. This is it in customer service. We are at an inflection point, and it's staring us right in the face. Now, there are 3 million customer service representatives in this country right now. 3 million. These are brave frontline people that answer phone calls, emails, chats, text messages, social media. And the National Bureau of Labor says this is growing 5% of a year. See, remember my contact optimization. I wasn't able to automate everything. Something still needs a human. This is why we have 3 million. And by the way, this doesn't include all the people who have customer service as part of their job, but it's not the core responsibility. So these folks are hardworking frontline folks, and if you train them and you elevate them, you will see a difference. So conservatively, they're doing 200 million contacts a day in this country, a day. Now imagine if we trained these folks for some of the skill I showed you recently, and imagine what your experiences would be like. Could we change the customer service feeling in this country if we did that? And I know we can. Because I have driven this transformation with companies. I work with leaders now. And the reason why they connect with me to help them is because, we heard it earlier today, perspective matters. Had I not had that headset on, and had I not connected, and had every level in customer service, I would never have known what it feels like to have my seat and a headset and what those agents are going through. And this is our opportunity. As leaders in this country, we have to take the charge and start elevating the customer service group to a department that matters. It is a department that matters, just like IT and marketing and digital engagement. And that's where we need to go. So I'll leave you with this. If we do this right, and this is our opportunity, in a few years, when we're sitting in a room of first graders, and we say, who wants to be a customer service representative? We might just see a few hands go up. Thank you.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
If we were not a reliable and trustworthy medical aid service provider, we might have told you impressive tales about superior products that sound too good to be true, which, when you could least afford it and was at your most vulnerable, would turn out to be just that. Too good to be true. But we prefer to tell you the truth, and then we deliver on it. without excuses, without referring you back to the fine print, without avoiding eye contact or uncomfortably claiming to have someone else on the line. Because nhp.com.na, we're about you.
All right, it is that time for me to say my see you laters and make way for the rest of the team that is on the radar that will be giving you your latest news updates. Now, today we had, of course, Carlos Sanjukila. That's the last time I'm going to say that name, from NAM Groceries. He was here to introduce himself, but also for us to push that competition because we want you to win that vegetable combo so that we, the whole Eagle FM team, can come and visit you and you can make us a poiki, those wonderful vegetables that you might win. But if you missed out on the conversation today, it will be available on our podcast on the website. And if you need more information on the competition, then head over to our social media page. You know, we really looked at so many things when it comes to our conversation with Carlos, and I think the most important takeaway is customer experience. A positive customer experience is so crucial to the success of your business because, like Carlos said, a happy customer is one who is likely to become a loyal customer, and that is all about boosting your revenue. The best marketing money can buy is a customer who will promote your business for you, one who is loyal to your company, promoting your business through word of mouth marketing, advocating for your brand and your products and your services. Because at the end of the day, the way you think about customer experience really has a big impact on how you look at your business as a whole. So for me, I will see you later. That is on Off the Hook. I hope that you enjoy the rest of your day. Coming up is your news update with On the Radar. Stick around.
On the Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30.
To our valued listeners and all Namibians, we are living in unprecedented times which have seen some extraordinary steps being taken. Some of which have suspended the most basic of human rights.
And this is because for the first time ever since our country won its independence, we have been hit by a dangerous virus, which is a threat to our livelihoods, the COVID-19.
The situation calls for us not to panic, but to work together and eradicate the spread of the virus. At Eagle FM, we urge you to always
wash your hands with soap or use hand sanitizers.
Limit or avoid travel and respect our laws and obey authority.
We have the answer and we will fight this the Namibian way. As Namibians, together, as one Namibia, one nation. Let's stand together against COVID-19.
Oyo mnangeshefa no wahara kushivifa oma kuroe kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM enyamukuru olongaha ninge kwatafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahita tuimwe heali imwe ne heali imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116 mamberewa konorahita tu natu bali o heta tu batatu ne nola no natu ninge tumo emaila Monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo mone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.